Welcome to the Game of Podcasts. Another episode.
Keep it going.
Hey, welcome to episode number 282, I think, of the Keep Up Podcast.
Where knowing is only a fourth of the battle.
Maybe you didn't. Maybe it's fine.
Come on. I wasn't even loud.
You are. You know what happened? I think when I brought my interface, I think something toggled the toggles.
Just get a marker and mark where my audio's good.
I should. I just didn't realize it
damage
was.
Damage
it. Now it's good, I think. You know what I mean?
No. No, I don't get it, Brett. I don't understand anything. You just started the podcast.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like, there wasn't an intro.
Why are you all right?
Oh, no.
I should have checked. My mic's at a weird angle.
I hope this is someone's first podcast they listen to and watch.
It will be someone's at some point, I think, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, because it is quite the day.
Hey, welcome to the Keep Up Podcast, where I'm Brett and Tim is Tim.
That's me.
And we talk about all the things we consume, be it media or food, and we let you know if it's worth keeping on the list.
Unless you're sleeping on your wrist.
Stop trying to make that a thing.
It's gonna happen.
It's really bugging me.
Good.
Dude, okay, speaking of things that bug me.
Have you ever slept on your wrist, Brett?
Yes. I had two surgeries because of it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't from sleeping on my
sleeping
wrist.
Sleeping on that.
When did you yell this loud?
I have done nothing.
You're screaming.
Is it me opening my bottle?
No. You know what I think is maybe the worst? I mean, it's got to be the top two worst things that have happened to consumerism.
Okay.
In the past, maybe ever.
Is it two things? You said top two.
I'm saying it's in the top two, which okay. I'm realizing now is like a weird distinction to make. I could have said three. Two feels too specific.
Whatever you're about to say must be pretty high up there.
I think it's the worst thing ever.
But you can't, right, you weren't ready to commit to the worst thing ever, so you said top two, right. Just in case there's something that's a little worse.
Also, I feel like I'm overlooking something. This is why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
Maybe you can shed some light on this. Gift cards.
Yes.
Are now being encouraged, and this has been happening for a while, but I've been ignoring it. Until yesterday, I was like looking at a gift card I had, and I was like, I am done with this.
I quit these.
And it says on the back of the gift card, like, use the gift card, refill it, and use it again.
Yes.
Who is doing that? What is that for?
I assume it's a way to save on plastic.
That's not my responsibility. Who is filling their own gift card? If I have the money for the thing, I'm just going to give you the money for the thing and you give me the thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound practical.
I cannot figure it out. I feel like Dunkin' Donuts started it. Spoiler alert, we live in New England.
Yeah. The only benefit I could see to this is if there's like a rewards program and you get rewarded for loading up the card or using the card or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. I guess if the goal is to not waste plastic or whatever, then.
But mom does it all the time.
Incentivize it, but digitally, right? It's on the app.
She loads up the card. Yeah, she doesn't actually use a plastic card.
Right.
And it's really weird how they make you do it, but you have to like pick an art for the card, like you were any other gift card.
Right.
And then you would like load the card on and then you can like mix it together in one big bank and use that money whenever.
Yeah. You have to like you scan the card in and I'd only ever seen Dunks doing that.
Yep.
But then this was a different card. This
Starbucks?
Was like the Starbucks one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a McDonald's one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's only food establishments doing this, but I was looking at it and I was like, when am I ever going to fill my own gift card? The only reason I have them is because someone got them for me as a gift. I use them and then I get rid of them. I don't know why. I don't know whose idea it was.
Yeah, there's really, I can't think of a reason.
Give them back. I get reusing it. I used to work at a place that once our gift cards, once they were empty,
yeah,
we would keep them. So we would say like, do you want to hang on to this? Because it was a cool looking card. Mm-hmm. And if it was empty and they were like, no, we would reuse the gift cards.
Why not?
I don't know if you can do that anymore if it's like unsanitary right, or whatever.
I hope they wash them.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm with you. I can't think of a reason.
What is it for?
Maybe a nest egg. You can like put money into it every month or something.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's like, okay, I have this gift card with like $300 on it that I've saved. It's just like another form of savings, I guess.
But they all take a step to add money to. Like if it's in the app, you have to be like add money from bank account.
But if you can't trust yourself with the money in your bank, you could do that. But then you'll know that card's there. I don't know.
What? You can't trust yourself? Well, you know like when I wouldn't trust myself? When I took $100 and put it on a McDonald's gift card just for whenever I want it. That's when I can't trust myself.
It could be an emergency fund, though. Or you can load it on for your kids.
I feel like the gift card is the emergency. Like, whatever. If you give me a gift card, that's my emergency. That's my, oh, man, I wish I could afford. Oh, wait, I have that gift card.
I got that gift card.
Once the gift card's gone, the emergency's... I'm back to my normal budget, which doesn't include McDonald's every day. Unfortunately or unfortunately.
No, it doesn't.
What is it?
I've given you all the possible answers.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I'm not putting money on my own gift card.
No.
I'm not doing it.
Reload it? No.
What are you reloading it for? For next time?
For next time.
I have a bank. And a debit card.
I am an adult.
I have my own gift card that works everywhere.
Maybe it's just easier to just use the gift card all the time. Instead of flipping through all your cards, like, do I have money on this card?
The gift card adds a card.
Right.
But it makes my wallet thicker.
But it's strictly a McDonald's card. It's like, oh, let me, you know, if you go on a date.
I know if I go on a date.
And you pull out the McDonald's card, be like, it's a flex. I'm a McSpecial customer.
I have a card for every place we go to. Don't worry, I have a card for that, and it's freshly loaded.
Filled it up with 10 crisp dollars, and that'll get you half a McChicken.
Yeah, maybe it's purely aesthetic, so that every place you go to.
Did you have any more before I... said my next thing?
No, you look so excited. I know the listeners can't see the hard stop Tim just put on a conversation.
I put my finger up at everything.
His finger went up. He looked not at me, but like beyond me.
I went to the commercial that I saw in my head.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Wendy's
is
offering $1 burgers. $1 Dave's double.
Okay.
The only caveat to all this.
$1 Dave's double. Okay.
So and
that's a big
Yeah, that's a big sandwich.
That's a serious burger.
And they had a whole commercial around it. Like, they're saying, we got $1 Dave doubles. We have $2 like triples, whatever it was.
Okay.
But I peaked.
It's just, you said that was an aggressive but.
Okay. But.
But you know what? It's fine. I think our audio has been sounding really good.
Yeah. I'm glad I have an aggressive but.
And no one has said anything about it except for us incessantly over and over again on the podcast.
Right.
By us, I mean me. I just bring it up weekly.
It's okay. I look over just to be safe, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
So don't worry about your butts.
Anyways, the caveat to all this is you have to use the app. They have this whole commercial focused around things being a dollar. And it's like the only way you can get access to it is through the app.
Okay. That I kind of get though.
Do you?
Yes.
I mean, there are benefits to using the app.
So the app thing is interesting to me because it seems to only benefit the consumer. I mean, it must benefit the restaurants as well. But like,
there's probably ads somewhere on the.
Oh, that's a good point.
But not ones that like intrude. Because like, if I'm on the McDonald's app, I never see like a pop up.
Yeah, you don't have to watch like a 30-second video.
It's like I'm in the drive thru, please.
It's like Ghost UK on Paramount. I don't know who that joke is for, but I've seen that trailer
Ghost
so many times,
UK.
And the show looks so bad to me. There's also ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what you're watching. You'll get an ad for ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get an ad for Ghost UK. And
I always laugh when sometimes the commercials are just in Spanish. I'm like, why do you think I'm Spanish speaking? Where did this happen?
What did I got one today that was
YouTube. It happens a lot.
Yeah, I got one on YouTube today that was fully in Japanese, and I was like,
that's even better.
I was like, this looks cool. I don't know what's happening. That does happen to me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, good. YouTube knows I'm very diverse.
They want me to be everywhere.
They think I'm multilingual. The digital version of me is way cooler than me.
It's very nice of them.
Yeah, I don't know what the benefit to using the app is, but there are...
For them, anyways.
Yeah, for them.
Yeah.
Because for the consumer, you can order ahead of time.
Yep.
If you have a weird order or something, you can edit it yourself. You don't have to say it to someone and hope they get it right.
Don't say nothing.
You don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. It can be ready for you. That's part of ordering it ahead of time, which was C number one of this
Go
list.
Go back to it.
I'm putting together.
Yeah.
Rewind a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what was the other thing? Oh, the deals on there are usually crazy.
Yeah.
And they're like in-app only. So...
Plus, you get rewards points to get free stuff later.
Right.
It's weird. It's not an ad. I just want to point it out. It's not an ad.
For what? All fast food apps? I wish we were sponsored by Wendy's. That'd be wild.
I don't know. Do fast food places sponsor podcasts?
I've never heard it happen. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard anyone be like, this podcast brought to you by Wendy's. $2 Dave's. $2 Dave's Trippy Dubbies at Wendy's.
Yo.
Brought to you by the Keep Up. I mean, the Keep Up. This episode of the Keep Up podcast brought to you by Wendy's. $2 Trippy Dubbies.
I'd smack on some Trippy Dubbies.
Wow. I'd smack on some Trippy Dubbies.
Yo.
I can't wait for this clip.
It's the haircut.
Yo. Oh, yeah. Yo, Tim.
I got my oil changed, baby.
Dude, I posted that clip and was so sad about how nobody watched it.
Dude, only the right people watched it.
I know. All four of them.
Don't be sad about the numbers. Do you know what the numbers are?
What?
Numbers.
That's true.
And we hate math. We're not good at it.
No. We try.
We try.
It wasn't even the numbers. It was more so at the point where I'm like, please watch this clip.
It's like, this is quality content.
Of Tim talking about how he has to get his hair. And... So everyone who listened to the podcast obviously heard it, but Tim was, we were laughing at the idea that his hair dresser, who do you
barber.
Go to?
It's a barber.
Oh yeah.
She's a barber.
No, you go to a hairdresser.
No, there can be female barbers.
Yeah, of course there can.
So you just, shut up.
You don't go to one. So Tim was, we were joking about her being mad at you next time you go in, and she actually said something.
She did.
I'm a big fan of her. She cares about you.
Yeah, she wants me to look my best.
What'd she say to you?
She said I looked, this was the most hair she's ever seen on me. And that she was scared. She was terrified.
As someone who was about to remove that hair, that can only be an insult.
It was satisfying for her because she just like all my hair was gone in the flash. She's really fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was disappointed in you, dude. I can't believe you did that.
She wanted me there in like October.
Yeah.
My last haircut was August and now it's April.
I'm only going to refer to it as an oil change from now on. I don't know, dude. What else? You got anything else?
No, I think it's reflection time.
Yeah, we're going into reflections.
Please, a moment to reflect.
Reflections, for anyone who doesn't know, is a time where we can do one of two things. Number one is reflect on mistakes we've made in past podcasts.
Yes.
Number two is reflect on interactions with you, our listeners, patrons, viewers, etc., etc.
All of you beautiful people out there.
Uh-huh.
We love hearing you and reading you.
Yeah.
And smelling you.
Depends on the circumstances, but...
And we're in reflection, so Brett, what do we got to reflect about?
All right, so I have both of those categories today. Number one is, in our last episode, we talked about Marvel's Alien.
The comic. Oh, you have an update for it?
Sure don't.
Oh.
But while we were talking about that, we were discussing the frustratingly confusing numbering system they have for their current Alien run.
Yeah. It sounds like it's an update for this.
Yeah, it's really not. And I said that the IDW Ninja Turtles did it right because their annuals fell within the numbering system naturally. They just called it an annual.
Right.
That was just a lie. I don't know why I said that. So I don't want anyone going out being like, you know what? I'm going to start reading this ongoing Turtles series based on the fact that their annuals just fall within their number system, and I will never be confused.
Right. There is no point where an issue will come out and it won't be the perfect number.
Well, I do maintain that it's one of the greatest series ever, and I want to defend it on all accounts. Yeah. It was unfair of me to compare their annual numbering system to Alien. Alien is still far inferior.
Yes.
Because it's a nightmare numbering system.
I still haven't read it. I'm too scared.
I really need you to get to that crazy Alien Queen thing.
I do.
But
need to see what she
I
is.
Just, I, you know, I unfairly judged one book based on a lie about another. So that's not cool.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
It's really good for you for this to say words.
Right. I mean, that's what you just said is pretty much why I brought it up.
I'm glad we can agree.
Almost 100% why I brought it up.
So how do they number the annuals?
It's just called annual.
Annual year?
Yeah. I think the first one was... Oh, why say another thing I'm going to be wrong about? I want to say it was 2012, but that feels crazy to me.
You think Turtles has been going on for, what is that, 12 years?
That's the weird thing is, I think, is 14? That possible?
14? No, what did you say, 2012? Yeah, so that's 12
years. I have 2012 in my head. I don't know if that's right, though.
TMNT first annual.
What freaks me out about that potentially being correct is I remember when the book came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it launched.
Like it came out to the world. Was it a like a double issue length, or like was it a bigger issue?
That was the word I was looking for. They came out with a million covers.
Okay,
four. I think it was four.
August 2011.
Wow. So the annual probably was 2012. Then
yeah,
I'm probably right about that.
Mm-hmm.
2011 that came out.
That's at least when the... Oh, I'm sorry. That's when the comic book series came out.
Yeah, the IDW one?
Yeah. So the first annual is 2012. You're right.
I was right about a thing?
Yep. 2012 was the first annual.
That is crazy. Dude, I remember when it launched because I was losing my mind about Kevin Eastman being involved.
Yeah, and that's what they showed right here specifically. Kevin Eastman and then annual and blah, blah, blah.
I bought all four books. I still have... there was a green plastic... comic book bag that Ooh. Came out specifically that day.
Yeah.
And I bought all four covers. And did I just say that twice? I think I did.
It's okay. You can say it again. You're excited.
I bought all four covers. I like to say it once for each cover. I bought all four covers. I remember that day, and it's weird that it was that long ago. That's 13 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's disgusting.
Wow. Speaking of reflecting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean about that?
Yeah, I get it.
Here's another weird thing. This doesn't have to do with you guys, but maybe it does a little bit, because you should know about the real us. We had some content removed from YouTube.
Oh, yes.
And we just want to be transparent with you guys.
Yep.
It was for hate speech. And I stand by everything we said in that video. And
tread carefully, Brett.
I have no regrets about what we said, and I'll say it again in another video. So I just want you all, imagine if I just left it at that. Because like, you can't find it. They took the video off.
Oh, yeah, true.
So I got an email, and it was like, some of your content's been removed, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's probably a song we used or whatever.
Yeah, some stupid thing like 8 years ago, whatever.
Since your video's been removed for hate speech. The video is like, I don't know. 8 or 9 years old.
It's got to be. Our oldest video on our channel is 8 years, so.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. It's one of our oldest, because it's when we were kind of just trying random stuff. This video is a playthrough of Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no video of us. It's just our voiceover.
Just a voiceover. A classic Let's Play.
Yeah, classic mm-hmm. Let's Play, exactly. Our audio is god-awful, because, and it doesn't even sound terrible, the levels are a nightmare.
Oh.
Because what we were doing, and it was kind of funny at times, we were like narrating all the voices, all the text that we were reading. But literally, Tim would be like, oh, hello, welcome to my man. And then I would talk and I'd be like, oh, Shovel Knight! Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. That's probably.
That's exactly what the video was.
It's literally.
You just recreated it.
There were a couple times, because what I would do is I would turn it way up listening to your voice, and I would come in and be like screaming. It was the worst.
That's when I didn't really know how to talk in a microphone.
Yeah, maybe you were far away, but mm-hmm. like I obviously was no help to you. I don't even remember what mics we were using.
I think we were using the Spark, right?
Just the one?
Just the one Spark.
So what did I have it right in front of me, and you were like.
Yeah, or the in between us.
I don't know what we were doing. But the point is. It's a 12-minute video.
Mm-hmm.
It for all the hateful speech that was in it.
Yeah.
It's been online forever.
Right.
And I watched the whole thing and I literally don't, I couldn't find anything.
No.
I was like, did we say, I don't even know what we could have said, but because we were just reading what the game said mostly and mm-hmm. then joking back and forth a little bit, I was like, did they say something? The only thing I could think of
mm-hmm.
watching the whole thing, because it's got to be like AI that picked it out or
yeah.
whatever, is at one point we say the Black Knight.
Which is just a character in the game.
Is that hateful to say?
I don't know. I mean, because there's the Black Knight in many things. Dark Souls, Monty Python, there's yeah. a Black Knight in that. So did all
fair,
that stuff get removed?
Bro, I wasn't singling him out. That's the color of his armor.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like under there.
No, he could be anybody. It's not about the color of the armor.
It's what's inside.
It's what's inside.
I don't know what it got removed for, but it was very funny to me. It was funny to me until I thought about it for a minute. And I was like, you know what sucks about this? Is this is like a nothing video to us. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and I can appeal it and maybe get it put back on. No big deal. But if this was like a massive video for us, mm-hmm. or this was happening a lot where, and I know this happens to some really big creators where you'll get something flagged like this and they just take the video down. It's just gone right now.
Yeah.
You cannot watch this video. And if it happens three times, you get, I think, a warning.
Yep.
And then I think if it happens again, I forget the order, but at some point they just shut you down.
Yeah. You had to essentially get three strikes on your YouTube
yes.
channel.
And this counts as a strike.
If we get three, or we have a strike already?
I think this is a strike.
Even though
I might have it.
That's why
up.
We had to appeal it then, because we don't want a strike.
Right, and that's, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, wow, that, you know, I laughed about it, I watched the video, I was like,
yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. And then I was like, oh, this is the danger of, like, AI going through and scraping for things that
yep.
can be considered hate speech or whatever.
Or even things that were okay to say 12 years ago
mm.
and that aren't said anymore, which I get
yeah.
the removal of that now, but, like, there
sure.
there are things that we would say back in the day that, again, nowadays aren't as widely accepted as they once were.
Yeah, I was assuming at one point one of us said the R word.
Yes.
That was my guess,
mm-hmm.
Which is like kind of okay again. I don't know if you've noticed that at all. But
I've seen it in certain things.
Yeah.
Like, but not, I don't see a lot of people use it as
No,
much.
Not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I've trained it mostly out of my vocabulary.
Yeah.
So actually pretty much entirely, it feels pretty foreign to me at this point, but it used to be regular. Like,
yeah,
just
it's
say it
just,
all the time.
It was another word for stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you would use that. So,
so that was my guess. I was like, mm-hmm. there's gotta be one of those
yeah.
in here, but nothing.
We wouldn't say anything racist
no.
or hate speech. Like,
no, you went on a rant about how you're not into, never mind.
I was like, I don't know where you can go with this, Brett, yeah. but
just decided
it won't
against
be good
it
no matter what you pick.
I thought that was funny. We
yep.
got a strike, a warning. Maybe it's a strike. I'll have to check. We should probably.
I hope it's just a warning.
We should probably refute it.
Yeah.
Now on to you guys.
The people. Mm-hmm.
I always encourage reviews.
Yeah.
I love when you guys leave us reviews. And for a while, I've been encouraging 5-star reviews with just terrible written, no, 5-star ratings with terrible review,
yes.
right? I think we got maybe our best review.
It is a work of art, what we got.
It really is.
Someone was very passionate, and I appreciate you for
yeah.
this.
I'm going to read you guys this review. This is from DJ. Oh, I think Deej. Deej or DJ? I'm realizing now all of our communication. I listened to their podcast the other day too, and I can't remember. Listen, man, I apologize. Maybe both is okay. Who knows?
Now leave us a 1-star review just for how badly Brett butchered your name.
Tim?
That's me.
I do not encourage. The stars stay 5. Berate as much as you want in the review.
Do another 5-star review just complaining about Brett's inability to say names.
Do a 5-star review and write seriously with a question mark. I'll know it's you. All right, so it's titled A Masterclass in Torture. Hey guys, Deej. The J is capital. I feel like it's DJ. Deej. I think it's Deej. I'm going Deej.
I'm not making a choice here because I'm nice.
Hey guys, Deej here from Ineffably Sublime Podcast. I did give their podcast a listen. If you guys are interested, it's a couple guys hanging out, telling stories, funny stuff. It's very similar in attitude to ours. So
yo,
if you're looking for another podcast to check out, I'm looking forward to listening to more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the review starts.
Okay.
Subjecting yourself to the Keep Up podcast is akin to willingly entering a vortex of despair, only to realize it's the most addictively delightful despair you've ever experienced. The host's incessant wit and insight are so profoundly disturbing that you'll find yourself questioning your own sanity for enjoying their every word. The topics they choose are so absurdly captivating, you'll mourn the brain cells lost to laughter, not because you needed them, but because you didn't realize how fun it is to be intellectually hijacked by such chaos. Every episode feels like an eternity that ends too soon, leaving you in a perplexing state of wanting more, yet fearing the irreversible joy it brings. Their audio quality is a clear threat to societal norms, making every other sound in your life seem dull by comparison. 5 stars because I'm now trapped in the delightful agony of their making, and I blame them entirely for my newfound inability to enjoy silence.
I'm already, yeah, round of applause.
Not
all
only
around.
The best review we've received,
yes.
Maybe the best written review I've ever read in my life.
Sir, I've never heard better words said about us, but just about anything.
It's so good. Thank you for leaving the review.
Thank you.
You guys are interested in a podcast co-hosted by the author of this gem, go check out Ineffably Sublime. Very cool podcast. And if you guys haven't left us a review, please do that. Helps the show a lot. And they're fun to read. Look how much fun this was for all of us.
Yeah.
I think do we have more reflections? Oh my gosh, dude. How can we have a million
reflections? We're just reflecting on life, really.
We are. Annuals, hate speech, review.
What a list.
This is what our notes list look like. Oh yeah, we got a voicemail, bro.
Voicemail from our Patreon friends.
Now's a good time to shout out patrons. Thank you guys for being patrons.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/thekeepup if you're interested. One of the perks is you get to leave us a voicemail or call our number and maybe, can we even pick it up or just a voicemail? It's going to be a voicemail. You're going to leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, because if we pick it up, then you can't leave a voicemail.
You're right.
So we
ignore. That's literally the whole point. I am so sorry.
It's okay, Brett. It's your first time.
What?
Being here.
Let's check out the voicemail.
Hey, Brett and Tim. It's Sarah Daniels over here at ForgedInFilm.org. Just taking advantage of my Patreon status to give you guys a call at your Google number. So I had a couple of suggestions for you. Oh. I just finished watching your latest food challenges. They are hilarious. Super
Thank
fun
you.
As
Thank
always.
You.
I had a fun idea. What if you guys got those like Harry Potter jelly beans? You know, like the Bertie Bott's every flavor.
I have
beans,
those.
Didn't we do that?
Had, the Bean Boozled?
Like,
yeah, we did.
You know, like taste challenge with that, where you try to like guess the flavor or like, I don't know.
How long ago was that?
That was like one of our first food challenges, I think. Because we did like the Takis.
Oh my gosh.
We did the saltines, and I think that was our third one we've ever done.
How do you remember that? That's insane.
I don't know.
And I think you're right, because as you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely...
I think, I have imprinted in my brain is the thumbnails, because I'll like scroll through our videos,
yeah,
and it'll be like the Takis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, so yeah, it's somewhere, it's pretty early on, but we can send it to you, Sarah, because we...
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, there might be new flavors now. I have the super spicy beans over there. Those are...
Spicy beans?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not
They're
interested
terrible.
In that. Maybe we can... Like repost it and do a new one. Like maybe we can.
I want to recreate all of our challenges.
We should.
I want to do the Takis and the Flamin' Hot Cheeto bowl again.
I'll do that one.
Where you had to eat a full bag of both of them.
Yeah.
It was painful.
You ate so many.
I did. It was really.
Do you
fun.
Feel like you could eat more now?
Yeah, I think I'm a little more advanced in my eating
yes.
skills. I think I do pretty good. It's a mess.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mess.
Thanks.
There's more.
See how many gross ones you can eat in a mitt, you know, or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, I got
so
all the gross ones.
You did.
Another fun idea I had was Sonic music.
It's hers. She can have it.
Dude.
It's, she's I got Sonic music.
She's Sonic music
I can't
you.
Believe it. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, that's a first.
That was great. That's what you can do on the phone call.
That's see what being a patron gets you.
See, at this point, I think we have 28 food challenges up on Patreon.
Do we really?
I think so, because I always do tags, because you can like do it by tags.
Mm.
I think I just hit 28 for the last one we posted.
Wow.
And then however many Cricket Cities, 9?
That
10?
Makes sense, actually. Yeah, because I think I just posted... No, we must be at 14.
Right.
right?
Are we?
Let's not try math again.
Let's not. No, math's bad. But just if you subscribe to the Patreon now, you get access to all of those food challenges.
Yep.
They're just sitting there waiting to be watched.
Waiting for you.
Was that the rest of Sarah's call?
So she does go on later with some, let me see. We have the transcription here too.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's right. There were two recommendations in here for movies.
Oh.
Number one.
Yes.
Was Airplane, which she says is one of the funniest movies ever.
It still holds up to this day.
Does it? Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because I know I have seen, I've seen Airplane, but I don't remember, I remember scenes.
Yeah, just like moments and...
Yeah, that's what I mean by scenes.
Yeah, but like funny moments, not just...
Yeah.
Or do you remember whole scenes that aren't funny?
Mm.
Like the story or anything like that? I could go for a rewatch. It's been a long time, but yeah. I'm familiar enough where I'm like, I remember it being good, enjoying it.
There are another... That came out weird. There are other comedies like from that era too that I feel like I'm just ill-educated on that era of comedy, and I know Airplane is one of the... Is it Leslie Nielsen, right?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yep.
Yeah. Like Naked Gun. Did you ever watch those?
I think I did, but I don't remember them, so yeah. I'll say no.
So you say Airplane still holds up?
Yes.
I'll have to watch it. Mm-hmm. It's probably streaming on something I have access
it's gotta
to.
It's got
to
be.
And the other one she recommended was Time Bandits.
Never heard of it.
Samesies. She said it is, so 1981, directed by Terry Gilliams of Monty Python fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a bunch of dwarfs who travel through time to steal stuff from famous people.
That's fantastic.
That sounds, I mean, I'm sold.
Yeah.
So
fantasy mixed with sci-fi?
Yeah, it sounds like it was made for you, basically.
Or they're just short people.
I guess
dwarves could mean either.
That's right.
So,
I don't know.
Either way,
you have to watch.
I'm gonna watch it.
The scary thing for you, Tim, is that's barely out of the 70s, and we know how you feel about the 70s.
It should be okay, though. It should be. It's right on the cusp.
Because it is 80, the hot cusp.
The hot cusp.
The hot cusp.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for calling in for the review. You're the coolest.
Oh, great people.
I feel like there was something else I was going to bring up from a YouTube comment or something, but I forgot. And I didn't make a note of it, so maybe more on that next week. But,
okay.
What else? That's it in reflections. We fully reflected.
That was a big reflection.
That was maybe like the most jam-packed reflections ever. What else did you got? What do you got?
I got to go to the movies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Ooh, let's go to the movies.
Hello, brother. Welcome to Movies, where we talk about things that rhyme with movies.
That was clever in its own unclever kind of way.
Yeah, nothing's ever clever that comes out of my mouth.
Nothing's ever clever around here.
Dude, ready to talk about Madam Web again?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I saw it and hated it because you hated it so much.
Dude. You know what I did dislike, but a lot of people are telling me I'm very wrong. About
Poor Things. Yeah.
Yep. Everyone's been telling me I'm very off.
I was almost gonna skip it, but now I need to find out.
Go watch it. Did I say a sleeper or a keeper?
I think you said sleeper. But I'm
I didn't like it.
I'm concerned that it's gonna leave me feeling ugh.
It will, but everyone who's seen it seems to be fine with the ugh.
Yeah.
So
I guess it depends. There are some.
It really, like what?
Like, okay.
What do you get from the movie?
I feel like Pearl
should
make me feel like, ugh, at the end.
Yeah.
But I was just like, mwah.
Pearl was great.
Brilliant.
So good.
Pure brilliance.
Yeah.
I think about that movie like once a day.
It really was so just like, it just took you away. Like it took you on this horse. And it said, have fun.
Right.
And we rode on the horse to adventure.
That is for sure the appropriate metaphor. I think that's the one.
It took us on a scarecrow.
Yeah.
And we sat there all day. Maybe not.
I don't know if that's the scene I want to use for
it.
It
took us to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was
a really good movie.
So you could get a similar feeling like that. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I just have had multiple people tell me they've really enjoyed it.
I might check it out.
And that I was far off base. But not every movie's for every person.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're at movies.
Yes.
And I went to the movies twice.
Twice.
In a week.
Oh, yeah.
I saw two movies.
Oh, that reminds me. One of them, I didn't even see it, and I was going to bring something up about it. But
okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So the first one's going to be
go
quick.
Go ahead, Tim.
Because I want Brett to talk about it when he sees it.
Yeah.
Because I saw it without him.
I can't believe you saw it without me.
Brett, you know how many movies you've seen without me? Because you have friends.
In fact, the last one, you also have friends.
I do. That's why I went and saw this movie.
Whatever. Nerd.
Which, I mean, what the heck's the real name? Godzilla X Kong?
I don't know, dude.
Kong,
stop putting
Godzilla.
X's in titles, please. I don't know how to. Dude, Sum 41 came out with a new record last week, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Heaven and Hell, or Heaven Something Hell. What's between the words heaven and hell is colon X colon.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
How do you say that?
Stop turning titles into algebra equations. Is it Godzilla and Kong? Use an ampersand. We've been using and forever. We don't need an X. It's not a straight edge band.
No.
I don't understand.
It's a crazy, because it's a crossover. So it's,
but then
it's Godzilla cross Kong.
Don't say Cross Kong. I don't like that.
Cross.
Is it just called Godzilla Kong?
Oh, yeah. Also, is there King Kong in the title or just Kong?
No, it's just Kong.
Just the...
They've taken away his...
He's not king anymore.
His... what's the word? I was
Moniker?
No, I was going to say something about like a monarchy, because isn't that where you have kings and queens and
but
stuff?
But that's the show. Monarch.
No, I know. I'm talking about like the being a king.
Yeah.
And that's in a monarchy. That's a type of...
You're saying they removed his title? Because the title is Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
Yeah, I know what the title is.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
Have you ever heard anyone say it out loud, like in an official capacity, or we've just seen it
Everyone
written?
Just says, I've seen the new Godzilla movie, or I've seen the new King Kong movie. Anyways, I saw it.
Good.
It's good.
Is it?
It's good.
That's so exciting. So I was nervous about this one.
Yes.
I love all things Godzilla, and I've really enjoyed pretty much everything that's come out. I will say, wait, what the heck was the last one? Godzilla versus Kong?
I think so.
And that's why this one's Godzilla X Kong?
Because they're friends?
Just call it Godzilla and Kong... Friendship is magic.
Honestly, the movies, they're all over the place. But Godzilla versus Kong was the name of the last one.
Okay.
With nothing else, it's just Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, dude, look at that. That's a sweet poster.
That's such a sweet poster.
All the posters for
What are
cool.
they standing on, though?
A melted city.
But the buildings are all down here.
Yeah. Well, they destroyed everything. That's
Wait, event. Which one is this? That's Versus?
No. Yeah, this is Versus.
Oh, I don't remember that poster.
I don't either. That's why I showed you, because it looked cool.
Thanks for showing me that.
I know you don't remember what I remember. So,
that's true.
So yeah, the big concern with this one is the last one was, the human story was not as, I mean, they're never great. Not usually, unless it's like Godzilla Minus One. But I felt extra painful in the last one for me. Like I wasn't very involved. I didn't really like everybody, and
which I think is what made it for me feel more blockbustery.
Yes.
Which, if I were to have a criticism on it, is that this one felt more like that. I mean, the first one felt really like heavy to me, and I liked that about it. It felt very grounded and kind of scary.
The first one, which one? Godzilla.
Godzilla, yes. Yeah. In, what did we say that was, 2017?
2014.
2014, that's right. We do this every time we talk about it, I think. But that one kind of felt like it had the weight of what Godzilla Minus One had when I saw it.
Yes.
I would say, you know, it had a similar energy. Godzilla Minus One was like, that movie's so good.
It was just, yeah.
But yeah, that, I thought Skull Island was really intense, and I really enjoyed that.
It was really both good origins to build up this new universe they have going on.
Yeah, and King of the Monsters just turned up the monsters like crazy.
Yes.
And then the last one, you're probably right that it's the human story that did it, but it just felt the most summer blockbuster, maybe not as heavy in mood in some ways. It was more so, it was like bordering Transformers energy.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate, because it is like, it's kind of all over the place, you know, like and perfect to describe it as not as heavy, you know, like the stakes were definitely there, but it was more so not like world destroying stakes,
where
everything else felt like kind of, well, although Skull Island's just on the island, but Godzilla felt like the end of the world, and King of the Monsters also the end of the world. Like, those are huge in scale.
That's true. That's a good point.
So the Godzilla movies always feel really big, and Kong not as much.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie is the continuation of the MonsterVerse and what happened in the last movie specifically of where the characters ended up. So what this movie does good, it
does well, Tim.
No, what it does good
is
well.
Oh, okay. All right.
Makes perfect sense.
I didn't know that's where you were going
with
it.
That's where I was
going. But now I fully understand.
Right? I wanted you to stick with me.
Pardon the correction.
You go into this movie expecting it to be crazy.
I do.
Everyone, I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what do you expect from it?
Well, finish the sentence. I'll let you know.
Crazy popcorn movie type explosion. Blockbuster. But more on the... Give me a little bit of good story with it. Give me a little bit of the extra Kong and Godzilla sides of things.
Yeah.
So when the action's happening, it's awesome. It's crazy. It's fantastic.
It is?
The human story, I would say, is better than the previous one.
Okay.
But still not great.
All right.
It's still like, we just don't need humans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on the we don't need human bus.
Yeah.
I can see, Godzilla Minus One showed us that there can be a good human story.
Uh-huh.
But what this movie does in particular is there is a significant amount of time where there are no humans present for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they could do a movie like this.
And that works?
And it works. It worked great. It was honestly probably the best part of the movie.
That rules.
Where there's no humans in it because it's just like... But it does rely a lot on the animators because they are animating these characters that are not speaking, essentially.
So, okay, the reason I'm excited to hear that that works mm-hmm. is they're walking a fine line, I feel like, now where I feel like it's a good comparison, Transformers, I feel like, got stale pretty quick.
Yes.
And then that just started this entire, I watched Pacific Rim recently,
mm-hmm.
way late to the game. I had never seen it.
Yeah.
I can see why it was maybe pretty fun when it came out, mm-hmm. but it feels a little stale now because we've seen the giant CGI battles and stuff. I did think there were some really cool monsters in it and stuff. And I love Guillermo del Toro, so mm-hmm. automatically I have a little bit of a bias.
Already.
But the fine line feels like, especially after the MCU and just so much CGI overload.
Yep.
As much as I love kaiju and giant monsters in general, am I still going to feel like fatigue when I'm watching it? And somehow I didn't in the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear that there's a whole segment of the film that's just the monsters and it was enjoyable.
It's way more believable when it's just the CGI.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because there are moments where there are humans around or they're in a real city.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being in a fully CGI environment.
Mm.
Looks way better when it's just CGI. When they're in the cities, you can definitely, the fatigue's a good word to put there. Because
I'm looking for it.
Yeah. And you can almost, it's good. But it's not the best.
Yeah.
I feel like they could make it look a little bit better.
Okay.
But again, there are moments where it really shines and mm-hmm. you're like, damn, this is
is
a movie. This is cinema.
This is movie.
I am here for a movie. I am monkey.
I am watch movie. I am love Kong.
So it is absolutely worth going to the movies for.
I love hearing that.
A keeper for sure.
Let's go.
There are some points that I don't love, but I won't tell you until you see it.
All
right. We can discuss it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I liked it better than Godzilla versus Kong.
Yep.
Just in general, I think it's just a better film. Pacing's good. The action's good. But yeah, again, there's a couple pretty big things that knock it down for me personally, but that's, I think, more preference than anything.
Okay.
But yeah, go see it in the theaters because it is that's the way to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
In the theaters and just have a good time. Hang out with your Dune bucket if you got one. You know,
I thought you were gonna say Dune buggy.
You can.
I was like, what a weird
thing.
I wonder if that's gonna play at the drive-in at all.
Dune.
Oh, that too.
That too.
But
that would actually be a great
Godzilla
place to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I keep driving past one
mm-hmm.
and it keeps saying. Oh, what's it say?
We're still open.
It says it said hopefully open in April. Pray for spring or something.
Not with the snowstorm coming up.
As we speak right now, it is snowing profusely outside. and I'm just hoping I make it home tonight. But, you know, it's out recent enough that it would be really cool if that showed up at the drive-in.
Yeah, that would actually be great.
Did I say drive-through earlier?
I don't know what you said, but I got what you meant.
A drive-through movie would be funny.
a long time.
You're in line forever.
You're just like... This is great.
Let me pitch an idea real quick.
Do it.
Because I'm curious, you guys listening or watching it, if you would be into this. But I was thinking of, on our Patreon.
Yes.
posting full spoiler reviews. Not at a like, not even at like a high tier or anything like that, mm-hmm. but just some extra content where if like you hear us talk about something on this, especially if it's like a newer movie and you want to hear like a full spoiler review, because it's easy enough to skip on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you don't want to watch mm-hmm. a full Godzilla X Cross Kong, the new empire.
Yeah. Next generation.
Next gen. Rise of the Ape Lizards.
Yeah. Dude, that's the ending. Don't spoil it.
What am I talking about? There's ape lizards?
I'm not saying nothing.
Anyways, that's an idea I have.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean?
I think anything can go on Patreon.
Oh, it totally can. I just, I was thinking that that might be a cool way to make, to give, to make.
To give, to make.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have a place to go if you're like, oh, I want to hear a full review. And then if we do it, we'll let you guys know here and you can go watch it.
Right, right.
You can, do, can you put, never mind. We'll talk about that later. So okay. That's cool. I'm stoked to hear that that's a keeper.
Yep.
Because all, I just want all Godzilla things to continue being, I hate to say it, but. All I wanted for this one to be was to be as good as the last one.
Yeah.
Which admittedly is like lowered expectations a little bit.
Yeah. I would say it's, I mean, on par. Again, there are things that are much better. And yeah. again, the couple things that I didn't like,
yeah.
like it's still better. It's still, ultimately it's still better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
you saw another movie.
I did see another movie.
I need to hear about it.
So this is a movie I did not know existed. I didn't see a trailer.
Really?
Yeah, I had no idea. The only reason I went and saw it was because we were looking up horror movies that were mm-hmm. coming out. And I'm like, there's nothing in the theater. And then the movie popped up. I'm like, this looks scary.
Yeah.
So the movie I saw was Immaculate.
Yeah.
Which is the tale of this woman who wants to escape from her American living mm-hmm. and go to this essentially a nun retirement home.
Oh.
And she wants to go and like help these nuns move on into the afterlife. Not killing them, but they're just gonna die naturally.
Right. Is this a slasher?
Well, that is the crux to it all is this movie's freaking gory.
Yeah.
It's gory.
I saw one clip and I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, this is a horror movie mm-hmm. and so basically the end of the synopsis is she is creepy things start happening, whether it's ghosts or people or the devil.
Mm.
Who knows? But mm-hmm. it's all spooky. Yeah, so this movie, it doesn't do anything I haven't seen before in okay. these type of movies where it's like a religion focus, you know, like devils, demons, ghosts, what have you. It doesn't do anything new.
Yeah.
But it's still a good ride.
Yeah.
Solid romp.
Okay. A solid romp. We love a solid romp.
Through a crazy look into religion, or in this case, Catholicism.
Catholicism,
mm-hmm. and how creepy it could be when you're in this like remote. Oh, she goes to Italy, by the way. That's
cool.
She goes to this Italian place, so she doesn't know the language. And yeah, it's just it's good. It's good. It's not worth going to the theaters for.
Okay.
You don't need to make a special trip for it unless you're craving some gory
religious, nunnery.
Yeah, nunnery. But yeah, you said you had questions. Did you have anything?
No questions about it. but
a point, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen any of it. Well, it sounds like no.
Yeah.
I've seen multiple ads for this movie
mm-hmm.
and I find them very annoying.
I need to see an ad because I want to know how they promoted it.
So what's frustrating about it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, I want to be clear. I'm not like offended by it or anything.
Yeah.
But it's a trigger campaign. Every ad I've seen is definitely aimed at like triggering people. So the first one I saw was it's Sydney Sweeney, of course, and
yep.
she's like, "Today we're watching the movie in this beautiful church with these two pastors, and they go into the church
uh-huh.
and supposedly watch the movie, and the two pastors are like swearing the whole time, like in response to seeing the movie."
Oh, really?
Which is obviously going to be like, what? They're pastors. Like, why are they? And, which like, regardless of what you think about that, like whether that's a big deal or not, obviously they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
In the video. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? The thing that they know is going to, people are going to see this and be like, what? A pastor saying
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Why is he saying that?
So
are they actors then?
I don't know.
Or just,
They say they're Pat. I don't know. The yeah. Sydney Sweeney walks in and shakes their hands, and but that's the whole ad.
Yeah,
and it's just I'm watching it. I'm like, this is specifically structured to trigger people.
Yeah.
And then the next one I saw was Sydney Sweeney. She opens a Bible and reads this really gory Bible verse completely like out of context. It's a wild verse anyways. It's a wild verse.
Mm-hmm.
But literally she just opens the Bible, reads this verse. There's a lot of violent stuff in the Bible, if you don't know that. And then she closes it and it just says like immaculate.
What the heck?
And it's like,
I mean, that sounds kind of cool. Like,
yeah, I mean,
interesting to promote the movie this way.
I guess. Yeah. Maybe it did. It bothered me on the level of like for your whole campaign to be based on like triggering people.
Yeah. As opposed to actually showing off the movie.
Yeah. Felt a little, but I don't know. Maybe they got me. I'm like, that's annoying.
Well, now you know the movie and like you probably want to see it. Not because of that, but
yeah.
It's in your mind.
I was like, oh, what an interesting tactic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I don't know. It was a thing I saw and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I got to see them because I want to see how cheesy it looks or how like realistic it looks.
No,
like,
I mean, genuine. They're well done ads and stuff like that. Like, it's not like a budget thing or anything. Mm-hmm. I watched it and I was like, this is weird. Like, why? At first I thought it was just, they're going to like go into, it's like when you watch a video now on like Reels or TikTok, mm-hmm. and there's something weird in the background of the video and you know, the creator left it there.
Right.
So that people would respond to it. And, because the one where she's like going into the church and watching it with the pastors, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's kind of like a cool idea for an ad. And then little things they're saying throughout the whole thing, I'm like, oh, they're totally like, this was written in a way to make people be. And of course, all the comments are like, I can't believe the pastor said that, blah, 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 blah. So it's like all engagement bait, whatever, which that's the game. You got to play it.
Right.
But I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I don't know that I've seen a lot of campaigns that were like intended to like trigger people in that way.
Yeah, I can't think. I think Dead Space, no, Dante's Inferno had like moms and like women play it.
Really?
And like they had them reacting to it and they all like got sick and were swearing and they were mad because it was just so like violent and crazy.
Yeah.
I don't really remember like the point of it because, I mean, obviously then just, I think there were moms. I think it was like, we have moms play, it was either Dead Space or Dante's Inferno. But that's the only time I can think of like trying to make people angry from such a, because they wanted to show how violent and gory the game was, and like a game even your mom can't play or something. Like that was, I gotta look at the history of it. But yeah, as far as like triggering stuff though, can't really think of anything other than that. But this movie, it was good. I can't think of any faults in it, but it felt very like we've seen it all before, you know.
Yeah, like, I do feel like we've had a lot of, unless I'm just thinking of The Nun, but mm-hmm. I feel like there's been a lot of movies that are like, there's nuns and gore and it's in a Catholic church. And like, it's a scary movie.
Yep. And even the things that happen in this movie have been done in a lot of other movies.
Yeah.
Specifically like, well, I won't spoil it, but
come on, dude.
I'm not going to say nothing, but like if you've seen The Omen and a lot of these other devil movies and stuff, you've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad. And I think, what's her name? Sydney Sweeney?
Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. She kills it.
Yeah.
She does great.
I haven't actually seen her in anything.
I saw her in Madame Web. she's jumping around. She's in a lot of stuff recently, but she was good. She really was convincing in the movie and she was pretty wild in it.
Pretty wild.
Pretty
huh?
wild.
Interesting.
So I'd say keep her.
Okay.
Just watch it at home when it comes out on streaming, whatever it comes out on.
So this one sincerely goes on the list because you shouldn't go out and see it right away.
Right.
Is what Tim's saying.
Yeah.
In case you guys aren't getting what he's saying.
Right. Put it on the list, the backlog list.
Dude, I was listening to this interview with a, I don't fully know how it works or like what she's a nun and she is part of like I think it's called an order, like a, and whatever. She's involved in like analyzing like communication and arts basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this whole conversation about how she feels about the way Catholic symbolism and the Catholic Church in general are used in horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting.
I actually would really love to see/hear that.
Yeah.
Because I wonder like it is the target of so many horror movies that like, and I mean, it does do it to itself because some of the old art and some of the old stories and like, it's scary. Religion could be very scary.
I love religious imagery. Yeah. I feel like it's whether it's used in, I feel like we talked about this semi recently.
Maybe
I just thought it really hard, but, I think it can be super beautiful and it can also be super creepy.
We did talk about this, but
right?
Was it like a TikTok thing where we talked back and forth to each other?
I don't know. Why would we have been talking about it?
Just like as a topic to talk about?
Just religious imagery? I feel like it would have come up in, yeah, what the hell were we talking about?
I don't know, but it was something. Because the point you just made, I 100% remember you saying.
Yeah.
Maybe we were just talking about it to each other.
I don't know. People are listening right now. They're like, yeah, you said it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
we were talking
like,
about
come
this.
On.
But anyways, yeah. It was a very interesting interview because she was talking about, I think they talked about The Conjuring. They talked about The Nun 2. Mm-hmm. And they weren't just like, it wasn't that she didn't like that it was being used. She was like, this is what they got wrong.
Yeah.
This is what an exorcism would really look like. It was a very interesting interview. It was really, really cool. I guess I'll keep that one on the list, but I'm not rushing out. I do want to try to get to the theater to see Godzilla X times Kong.
X times Kong.
Is that it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I got of movies.
I don't have anything else in movies either.
Did you want to go to books and comics?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I do want to do that.
Have you read anything good lately?
Tim got me a birthday present.
Did I?
Yep.
Wow.
And
how nice of me.
Did I open it on the podcast last week? Or during something? I can't remember anything, dude.
I gave you one while we were doing the pizza video.
Yeah, the other one was here.
And the other one.
I think I opened it right before we started.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tim got me Dune, the graphic novel. Stoked about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And last week he gave me The Crow.
Oh.
It's like the special edition or anniversary edition. I don't know. It's
yeah,
a collected
it's got, like, extra stuff
version.
In it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think this one came out in 2011.
Okay.
And what's super cool about it, mm-hmm. so I never read The Crow, super stoked to read it. I also, real quick, did not mean to make this like The Crow show for the last like 2 months.
We really have talked about it so much.
We've talked about it so much, and it's just like the timing of everything is really weird because you saw it for the first time.
Yes.
I watched it.
Right.
End of last year, I think.
I think so.
And then you saw it for the first time, so we talked about it. Then they announced the remake.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then so we brought it up again, and then you got me the book, and this is why we're talking about it again.
And it probably won't be the last time.
No, because the movie's going to come out at some point,
and it's got some sequels out there.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're going to be hearing about The Crow for
a while.
It will
never escape.
This is like when we were stuck in the MCU for a while. Now we're just stuck in the Croniverse.
I want to be stuck in the Pooniverse, please.
Oh, my gosh. Did you watch that movie?
Not the first one. I haven't seen the second one either, but I'm tempted.
Why'd you say it like
that? Well, because the second one supposedly is better.
Well, you got to watch the first one.
Do I?
What's it called? Is it
Blood and Honey?
Blood and Honey. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar. You should look up Blood and Honey. It's a Winnie the Pooh slasher movie. And now they are putting together an entire horror universe, the creators of this movie, called the Pooniverse.
So good.
Where it's different children's stories turned into slashers. But
Peter Pan, Pinocchio, Bambi. Mm-hmm. That might be it. Might be one more.
Bambi is crazy.
I legit have no idea how they're going to
do it. With Bambi. But I feel like this could be one of those things that could be really fun, mm-hmm. but I've only heard really terrible things about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's not even fun to watch, if you can't make a Winnie the Pooh like slasher movie fun to watch,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's the rest of that sentence? I don't know that I could. I'm not trying to judge him.
No.
I'm just saying.
But like,
it should at least be, like, funny.
Yeah. Try to make the Pooh Bear story, but make it a slasher.
I'll probably watch it at some point.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely curious.
Curiosity.
Yeah. Killed
the bear.
Nice. So I started reading The Crow the other day.
Yes.
And there's an intro by the author, James O'Barr.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know this, but it gives a whole weight to the story that is like already there because of what happened to Brandon Lee in the movie, and just The Crow is a pretty devastating, tragic story anyways. Mm-hmm. But it was inspired by an actual real life loss to the author.
Oh.
And he went through this through this crazy mourning process that resulted in The Crow being written.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he used art as a vehicle to like break himself out of the
and I'm pretty
depression.
Sure it's like the first thing he ever wrote.
Oh,
and
that's pretty cool.
It is. It is. But it's like kind of heartbreaking. Because in the intro, he talks about how he would feel like this weight of guilt as he was like making money off of it and it was selling really well. Mm-hmm. And then he also mentions, he goes into it in greater detail. So I definitely recommend reading it. Then he mentions what happened with Brandon Lee. Mm-hmm. He like went through grief all over again because he felt like...
If he didn't write the story, it would have never
happened. Obviously is like a very unfair... What'd you say?
I was going to say it might have still happened just in a different movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfair weight to put on yourself, of course, which I watched an interview with him and stuff, and you know he's aware of that, but he just said at the time it was like this weight on him, and it was just crazy, and it adds weight to the story itself because it's like... I don't know. It's like any art form, I guess. Like the heart of the creator comes out in it. So if it's something you're really feeling, it just really takes on a life of its own. And whoever's consuming it, you can really feel that. And The Crow itself, like reading it is a wild experience because it's very poetic. Mm-hmm. It feels very like, what's the word? Is alinear a word? Nonlinear? Nonlinear.
That could work.
It doesn't feel linear. Like, it feels like...
Like atypical? Like, kind of different from the what you expect from this type of story?
Yeah, but I more so mean, like, it feels like it jumps around in a way. Like, you never know what you're going to get to on the next page.
Okay.
So it might be a few panels of a couple guys talking, but then you turn the page and it's just the crow walking down the street reciting, like, a poem or something. Mm-hmm. Or what sounds like a poem. And it really feels like someone processing.
Yeah.
Like reading that intro first was, I think, kind of set the bar for it because I'm reading through it and I'm like, this legit feels like somebody processing. Like one thought over here, thoughts of grief down here, memories, like, and then you're kind of all of a sudden brought to a scene in the now where it's like, what's going on with the crow? What's happening? I'm not quite halfway through the book.
Okay.
It's very good. The art is so cool. He also makes a note in the beginning, about how everything in the book was, there were no computers used at all, including there is a section, I think it's called, I could be off on this, but I believe it's called Sparkle Horse. And it was excluded from the original printings because he said he just wasn't in a place to like include it yet. It was just too heavy. Like it just felt like too much. And some of the pages that are included in this special edition, which again, it was, I think 2011. But the original was written in the 80s. He had either given pages away or they were like not in good enough shape to use for a reprinting, so he recreated them.
Oh,
like,
wow.
At the time of the special edition. So the one that you got me is like so cool. There's
awesome.
So much cool stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And I would say like that's the one to get. There's a part of me that's like, I kind of wish I'd read it before so I can see like what's new, but they outline everything that's different in this one. And
I know. I was actually, as you were talking about it being a special edition, like I wonder if it would be cool to have the original just to kind of like read it and skim through it. Because was it a graphic novel to begin with? Or did
I think it was four issues.
Four issues of a comic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you're saying it came out in the 80s. Like, it would just be kind of fascinating to have the original as it came out. But also, you want the special edition because that's got all the extras and cool things.
Yeah.
So it would probably be good to have both. But
absolutely. Yes, special edition. Mm-hmm. July 26, 2011. So it is, if you guys can get that hardcover, if you're interested in reading it, absolutely a keeper, absolutely worth reading. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that it does feel like, because I think a lot of people are going to be familiar with the movie first.
Yes.
And sometimes going back and reading something doesn't feel like it can have the same impact as if you had read it first and then seen the movie.
Yeah.
This feels like a different experience, but it still has the same like soul. Like it feels the same. I felt the same mood in reading it that I did watching the movie. I actually put the movie on that night after I read it for a little while.
Cause
I was just like, I'm kind of feeling this right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very, very good. Highly recommend.
Awesome.
And he wrote a lot after the main story too. So I'm very curious to read more after the special edition.
Yeah, I didn't know he did anything else after, to be honest, but
yeah. I'm trying to see 89 was the first issue. I found some, actually, someone, I think on eBay, had four graded issues, number one through four.
How much? They were graded, so.
It was a lot. It was like $3,000, I think. Which, honestly, I was kind of surprised it wasn't more than that.
Yeah. But. Would you want them graded or just the issues by themselves? Since you have the collected set.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily need to flip through them. I wonder if they were in color, though. Because the special edition's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Then I assume the original wasn't.
Yeah, maybe not. But like the Turtles books, they... Oh, wait, were those in black and white originally?
Originally, I thought they were. And then they were colored later.
And then they... Because they reprinted them in collected editions, and those are all black and white.
Oh.
I don't know.
Dude. I don't know.
Who the freaking heck...
I didn't read them.
Who knows freaking heck?
No, freaking heck, man.
I have a funny story to tell... But I think I'm going to save it because my voice is going away.
It sounds like you're losing.
Yeah, I've been like off and on. Like I think it's allergies, change of the seasons kind of thing. But at the beginning of the day, I can barely talk. And by the end of the day, I can barely talk.
It just disappears.
I feel like I sounded so much clearer at the beginning of this podcast.
And then you're like, hey, God,
now I'm struggling a little bit.
That's okay. We can call it.
Yeah, I guess that's that.
That's that.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for hanging out. This has been episode number 282 of the Keep Up Podcast. Wow. Thank you again to patrons, to everyone who follows us on platforms across the intranet. If you're not following us, you can find us on all platforms at the Keep Up Podcast. That's TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. Like and subscribe if you are watching. That helps us a lot. Leave a review if you haven't yet. Tim, tell everybody where you can find, tell everybody where they can find your work.
You guys can find me at Collection Revolution all over the place. That's on TikTok. That's on Twitter. That's on YouTube. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitch. And wherever else you can find the social medias of your friends. Brett.
What?
Where can the good people find you and your smelly onions?
Wow. Gets weirder every week. You can find me at This Drink I Like It on Instagram. That is my personal page. You can hang out with me there, or you can click the Linktree link. And you can find all my other stuff, my music and other podcasts and streaming stuff and all of that. Before we go, Tim's going to do what's called End Babble, where he talks nonsense for about a minute and a half. Tim, your theme is orange juice on a light switch.
All right.
Okay, love you guys. Thanks. Bye.
It's a beautiful morning. Orange juice in my cup. Oh no, it's a cat. I'm gonna trip on its butt. The juice, it goes on the light switch and it goes pss, pss. And now I'm dead. Da, 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 da. So I'll leave you with this. Don't ever spill liquids on electronics. Everyone's gonna die. Thank you. Test it,
all right, here,
dude. Heckin' what?
Freaking heckin'
yeah, freaking heck.
Yeah, heckin' freaking.
I wonder if you play that in slow motion.
Why are you screaming?
I'm sorry, brother.
Play what in slow motion?
If you play what you just did in slow motion, it's gonna be a lot of language, a lot of swears.
A lot of leg-witch?
Yeah, a lot of leg-witch.
Sandwich made of human legs.
The camera's like.
It looks that way, but does it look that way?
It didn't to me, but I am also me.
In the reflection, when will my reflection show? Hitting every note 100%.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even sick at all, and my nose isn't stuffy.
You came here sick?
No, not really. I'm just using that as an excuse. You think if I wasn't a little stuffy, I'd just hit every note? All right, audio's good, I think.